Welcome to the Hope United Church podcast. We are one church with two locations. For video live streams of our services and more information, please visit www.hopeunited.org.uk.
Let me just start by helping some of you catch up with what I've been speaking about last night and this morning, just before I move on, and so that you can don't miss what I was speaking about this morning. So I'm just going to read a little passage of what I was speaking about this morning, but I'm not going to go into a kind of different message. Well, it's the same message, but leading on for it, okay? Matthew 25:14-18. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. As what Callum talked about, this is the human factor. There is no theology for. There is a human factor in life. No, this ability is not a God ability. It just seems to be some people, through their nurturing, through their life, have an ability that's just different for other people. God does not bless nor favour people because of their abilities. We're just all different. Some people have got different abilities. And it's just how it is. You know, there's a God-given gift, but then there's just abilities. You know, Paul Scanlon preached a message a few years ago called "There's No I in Team, But There's 5 in Individually Brilliant," which is, no, and there's often no theology for the human factor. And in this scripture, and I spoke about it this morning, please get it on catch up or on podcast, where I talk about the human factor, because God mentions according to their own ability, not according to the ability he gave people. Many, many people will all get different abilities. The problem arises when we try to have the capacity that another human being has. No, there is no, God does not love the 1 talent man any less than he loves the 5 talent man. He loves them equally. They just have different abilities. And I spoke about that this morning. So for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, called his own servants, delivered goods to them, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And I'm adding this bit because he was fearful. And the only reason I'm adding it now, because it says it a bit later in the scripture, but it saves me reading it. Guys, can one of you just go and take that away? Because I'm getting a bit fed up with that. Thanks. Thanks, James. Get off for James. Okay. I'm saying I'm getting a bit fed up. I'll have it back next week. Just for the night. Because he was fearful. He hid it because he was fearful. The message title for last night and this morning was this, if you put it off, is ethics determines blessing, not talent. No, and we think that we're blessed, no, because somebody gets a certain talent, that makes them blessed. It doesn't make you blessed because of the talent you've got. How you carry it, how you grow it, how you live your life, how you grow your character is what determines the blessing. And the scripture goes on and talks about that. 2 men took what God had gave them and exposed it. And it says then they traded. They took their talents and then they traded it. Incidentally, when one was given 1 talent, 2 talents and 5 talents, see, in monetary terms in this day and age, 5 talents is the equivalent of this day and age of over £6 million. 2 talents is 2.5 million. 1 talent is roughly 1.25 million. So maybe you're sitting here going, oh, I'm just a 1 talent person. Yeah, 1 talent person is worth 1.25 million. Yeah. You know, the crazy thing is but that we compare so much that we think, I'm not happy. Who would be happy with 1.25 million? In a, yeah. Like, amen, amen. No, amen, amen. Yeah. But would be like, why am I not getting 6? Yeah. You know, I don't gamble. I don't think it's healthy. I don't believe in gambling. Gamble responsibly. I don't think there's such a thing. You know what I mean? Do you know what the main reason I don't gamble is? Well, for part of it, it's no right. But do you know the main reason I don't gamble? See, if I put £10 on a horse and it won, I still couldn't win. Because I would be raging that I never put 20 on it. Yeah. There lies the problem. Yeah. So I couldn't even enjoy it. And two men took what God had given them and exposed it into the market. We have to, regardless of what we've got in our life, we have to dare. No, oh, but it's not as big as their gift.
Yeah.
It's not special enough. I'm not special enough as them. And what we do is that we get frightened to show our hand. We get frightened to show what we've got because we compare it to what everybody else has got. And it says that two men had exposed it. They took their talent, the little that God gave them, and started trading, started interacting with other people. They would have had to take what they had and then go and interact with other people who had stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things I said this morning is see, unteachable people, they'll never fulfill their potential. Because they're frightened of interacting with other human beings who are further on in them.
Yeah.
It's okay to be nervous when you're around about bigger people. I was with a great pastor this week in Aberdeen, and we were talking about different speakers coming, and he was telling us a time when one of the speakers came. I don't want to get into details. And he says, I was so nervous. And they're a pretty big church in Aberdeen. And he says, I was just so nervous, but it was good for us. And even though you might be nervous because you think what you've got is not as good as what somebody else has got, it will grow you.
Yeah.
It will equip you and strengthen you to be round about bigger people, regardless of how intimidated you might feel. This is what the one talent man done. He took what God gave him and buried it and then exposed his fear. He took what God had gave him, buried it, then exposed his fear. Because he was asked later, why did you hide it? He says, because I was frightened.
Yeah.
He started trading in fear. And fear became his currency. Sometimes God gives us little and we hide it and we start trading in a fear. We bring fear to the party. Everywhere we go, we bring our fear and we bring our inadequacy and we bring our inferiority. And I get that. That's not how I live my life. That's why I used to get drunk. That's why I used to, seriously, because I was so frightened and so intimidated when I was in environments that I thought the best thing to do was to drink. Because I felt intimidated when I was in certain environments and certain people and certain companies, and especially the wealthier you are. I remember when I get sober, I went on holiday. It was just before, I don't know if I was saved at the time. I wasn't saved, but I was sober. And I went to Dubai on holiday. And honestly, this is years ago. It's like a metropolis city, but then it was only a couple of hotels in the desert. And I remember going to this big posh hotel. And honestly, I was so intimidated. Well, because even though it was me, they should have been intimidated with me. Because I was the one that was paying, they only worked there.
Yeah.
But I was still intimidated. You ever been in a posh restaurant and been intimidated by the flipping waitress? And you're thinking, I'm paying £50 for this meal. Why am I intimidated by you who's getting paid £6 an hour?
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we get into posh environments and go, I'm just nervous. And this is what this guy did. God gave him some and it was small. But yet, you're still laughing at my camp talk. I'm seeing pockets of you. He's gone. There he's at it again. And we do accents all the time in our green room, right? We do accents. It doesn't matter what accent I do. I can do it the first time well. And then always it goes Asian. See, the second time I say it, it always ends up Indian. So I can say a Welsh accent once, and then it goes, oh, bridges. Second time, every time, doesn't matter what accent I do, oh, bridges, I'm away. Fraser and Callum are quite good at them. We get all saying, go and do that accent, go and do that accent. They're good at them, and I'm no bad at them. But just the first time. Doesn't matter, Irish, Welsh, South African. One sentence, and then I'm straight into full Mumbai. every time. And I was in this hotel, as it says, and I was hiding, and I remember going to the beach, and he says, where do you want to sit? I says, on the beach. I says, anywhere you want. I says, that's fine over there. would you like an umbrella and some loungers and towels to dab you? I said, oh, whatever. So the guy went away to get a shovel. No, he didn't. He left the shovel. He went to get an umbrella. Well, my inadequate nature just picked up the shovel and started digging the hole myself. Just, I'm away, I'm giving it Aldi. The guy's running back, whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, no, whoa, whoa, whoa. He was for the Philippines, whatever that did. Whoa, 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 whatever, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what he did. I don't know what he did. He come back, he's like, stop. I lose my job. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it, mate. I'm all right. I dig all the time. You know, years later, I was in another hotel in Dubai. And this is not... Years later, I was in another hotel, a Porsche hotel. I wouldn't go to them now. I wouldn't pay that money. I don't have that kind of... I don't value these kind of things anymore, right? And I was staying in a really Porsche one. See the big one with the big sail? It's called the Burj Al Arab. I was staying in it, right? I was two nights in it, and honestly, it was... It's very expensive. I mean, you could get a holiday for that. But the time... Anyway, I was in it. But see, because by this point I'm saved, I've got a different mindset in life. People were like, it's very intimidating in there. But I had a mindset saying, no, they're intimidated. They're intimidated was, I'm paying. Yeah. They just work there. Yeah. And your value changes. So here's this one talent man... took what God had gave him and buried it and started to trade in fear. Yeah. Yeah. He started to... His currency became comparing. Wow. See, when you don't use even what little God's gave you, your currency becomes comparing. Wow. You start comparing yourself to others and competing with others and that became his currency. He took what God had given him and dug a hole and shut it out of his sight and started exposing his fear. Instead of taking his fear and burying it, yeah, and exposing his gift. Yeah. And how many people, I've seen over the years, how many people bury what God's given them because they don't think it's good as what somebody else has got? Yeah. They don't, I mean, I'm not that good. Because they don't think it's as good or as important as what other people have. They're too intimidated to expose what little they have. Yeah. So they just operate in the realm of fear. Yeah. The enemy hates what God's placed in your hands. Yeah. Yeah. I need to tell you that again. The enemy hates... Well, God's not gave me in and you're breathing, aren't you? Yeah. The enemy hates what God has placed in your hands. You might not even know what that is yet. The enemy hates what God has placed in your hand. If you're in this church, you've got to find out. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And he will do all he can to cause you to bury even the little you've got, yeah, and operate in the realm of fear. Yeah. And he used many different things. And people. Yeah. Yes, he'll use people to distract you, to discourage you, to stop you expanding and growing, yeah, in what God's gave you. Yeah. Yeah. He will do anything to rip out of your hands what God has put in your hands. I want to move on and talk for the little time I've got about the next message. And the only reason I'm changing the title name is to make it easier for you to find if you go on social media or to remember this. Sometimes if you give a different message title, I've noticed that sometimes I give message titles and I can't remember. Yeah. I'm like, I can't remember what that was about. Yeah. So that you can draw on this, because I believe this is going to really help some people tonight. And I want to move on and talk a bit more detail about moving on for what I feel God's put in my heart to speak about. I'm going to tell you the next message title after I read this scripture. Nehemiah 6, Old Testament. Nehemiah, before I start here, just to give you a bit of context, Nehemiah is a Jewish man who was a slave and he was a cupbearer, meaning he was a poison taster for the king so that the king didn't die. And Nehemiah was entrusted to God to build Jerusalem and build the walls of Jerusalem. Let me just say something here as an officer here, just because God's been, I've been thinking about this a lot, and all right, Butterfingers. And God's really been putting it in my heart that, and some of you may value this or no, but I promise you, if you study and get revelation, you will, that the Jewish people are God's chosen people. You better believe it. In fact, if you read Romans 11, which I encourage you, if you don't know this, to read it, the only reason we are saved is because the Jewish people rejected Jesus, or we wouldn't even be saved in the first place. So it's so important. I believe America, I'm not wanting to be political here. No, we're not talking about the treatment of the Palestinians or Jews and Palestinians. But I'm not talking about that. But I believe this, that America for a long, long time have been a blessed country because they look after the Jews. And see, the thing is, when we start neglecting that in our life, if you read Romans 11, it actually tells us that the reason that we are now connected to the vine is because the Jews rejected Jesus. And then it says, let's not forget. This is what it says. This is Apostle Paul writing. Let's not forget that the only... let me tell you something. See, the only reason somebody loves you is because they fell out of love with somebody else. Seriously. Well, very few people marry their first love. I would love that to be the case for every human being. And I'm sure if you look at your life, you just go, I wish I only ever had one love in my life for all my life. Older people tell you as young people that. No, I'm short my boot. It's the wrong thing to shop. Shop for shoes. You don't shop for relationships. Seriously. In the Jewish, in this scripture, the Jews rejected God. And God says, I'll select the Gentiles, that's all it is. Unless you're Jewish and born Jewish in here, which I'm not sure, I don't think, well, you may well be, and if you're awesome. If you're and you're saved, please stay in this church, because we're going to get blessed through you being in this church. I promise you. You want to get Jews saved and get them into your church, I'm promising you. And I'll tell you why. If you get Jews saved and get Jews into your church, God's all... See, the thing is, if we can get saved through the Jews rejecting God and we can get blessed through the Jews rejecting Jesus, how much more will we get blessed when they come back?
Yeah.
You hear me there? If I'm saved and going to heaven because the scripture says that when the Jews rejected God, God accepted the Gentiles. This is us. To make the Jews jealous. You're a project. Oh, we're not that special. But yet we then reject the Jews. And when we reject the Jews, seriously here, we're talking biblical here. When we reject the Jews, then we are reject. God's like, don't get above our station.
Yeah.
Don't start rejecting the Jews. They were my chosen people. The only reason you get picked was because I wanted to make them jealous so that they would come back to me. So see, if one Jew gets saved in your church and becomes part of your church, listen, let's pray for the rabbis to join your church. Seriously. Because see, the thing is, if we can get blessed with them saying no to Jesus, how much more will we get blessed when they say yes?
Yeah.
Anyway, Nehemiah's been entrusted as a duty. He rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem that have been captive with different faiths and different... And he's been sent here by God to build the walls of Jerusalem, to make it a God place again. It's like what we're doing here. We have been called to build this church. I know it looks like a warehouse or a nightclub. But we're called to build God's house. And... house. £30 a lesson to learn to say house. It's a total rip-off. So Nehemiah has now been entrusted to build this, and he did so with the Jews. And now we're moving on. So the house has been built and loads of stuff happens. And it says in the start when he builds a house that Sanballat, Tobiah, the Amorites and the Ashdodites conspired to create confusion so that the walls would not get built. Now we're beyond this, and the walls are nearly built, and now we're at this stage. And then it says in 6 verse 1 to 9, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of the enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, and that there were no breaks left in it. Though at the time I had not hung the doors and the gates, dead important that bit, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, come let us meet together. Now here is an arch enemy now looking for a social event. Some of you need to hear that. Some of you that hated, some people that hated you coming to church now wants to go on a social event, so you miss church. Hello? That Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. See, Nehemiah's no daft. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message 4 times. Some people are persistent in stopping you moving on. But they sent me this message 4 times and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the 5th time with an open letter in hand. Oh, here comes a letter. And it was written, it is reported amongst the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king, and you have also appointed prophets proclaiming concerning at the Jerusalem, saying there is a king in Judah. Now, these matters will be reported to the king. He's getting deeper here. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Let's have a meeting. Then I said to him, saying, no such thing you are saying has been done, but you invent them in your heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. The message title for the night is called this. The weapon is weapons of mass destruction. Wow. You've heard the weapons of mass destruction, but there's throughout your life and your journey, there will be constant weapons to distract you. They are weapons of mass distraction to stop you doing and stop you growing what God has put in your heart. The greatest distraction, listen here, based on this scripture, the greatest distraction that will come in your life is the distractions that come just before you're ready to put the door on. Wow. Just before you're ready, because everything's built here. Yeah. And it's almost like Sanballat and the enemy is like, oh, we've got one more shot at it here. Yeah. The walls are built here. The only thing that's left is a door. The only thing that's left is one opening. There's only one opening. Just before you're ready to put the door on and shut out your old life. See, in the New Testament, do you know what the door is? Jesus. See, Jesus is the door. See, just before you're ready to make Jesus the center of everything, meaning that the only way that people can get into your life and through your life and connect with your life is through your relationship with Jesus Christ. Just before that happens and you make Jesus Lord of all. No Lord in a Sunday. No, Lord, do you come to church on a Sunday, but you live a different life on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday. When you make Jesus at the center of your life and everything in your life operates through that avenue in your life, just before you're ready, because some people are in church, and whether you're listening here, and Jesus is part of your life, but he's not all your life. Yeah. And when Jesus is part of your life and not all your life, you and if you're in that position, you're going to face some of the most major opposition in your life, and you're going to face absolutely weapons of mass distraction to stop that door getting built in your life. Because when that door's built, the only way that people can get through your life is through Jesus. Yeah. And just before you're ready to put that door in and shut out your old life, and make Jesus the entrance to everything you do, you are about to face the greatest opposition in your life. I will guarantee you, if you're saved and you're a believer in this room, I will stonewall guarantee you, if you have got breath in your lungs, you're facing opposition at the moment who are trying to distract you from shutting the door to your past. Yeah. And the enemy knew that they were running out of time. We are running out of time here. Yeah. The walls are built. There's just an omen here. There's one omen in my life. Yeah. Everything's solid. We're getting stronger. I'm coming to church. I'm getting planted in the house of God. I'm flourishing. I'm saying bye to my past. I'm getting over my addictions and my mindsets. Jesus is starting to become real. Jesus is Lord in my life. I'm starting to get freedom. But there's still an opening in my life and in my workplace. Some of you are free for so many areas except Jesus is not in your workplace.
Yeah.
See, this is why I've removed the seat. It's preachy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like it? Do you like it? I've took a seat away. I've not been to the gym all week. That's how I took it away, you know what I mean? Still got a sore neck. And the enemy knew that they were running out of time with Nehemiah. The walls were built. They were solid. There's only one door left. It's just that one door that was left. Maybe that door of fear that's still in your life. That door of intimidation that's still in your life. That door of low self-worth that's in your life. That door of low self-esteem. That door that's just, I've not quite surrendered yet. Use young people in this room. There's, I know what's happened in youth because I speak to your pastor and yous are getting stronger. And yous are getting less intimidated by people. And yous are getting less led. You're not getting led with distractions in the wrong crowd. And slowly but surely, you're getting stronger, you're getting bolder. And the chinks in your armour, they're getting closer knit. The closer the chinks in the armour are, the less likely the enemy can penetrate areas of your life.
Yeah.
And the enemy sees it's getting close. And Sanballat and Tobiah and the Amorites and the Ashdodites and Geshem are now terrified because what they tried to stop in the beginning, now they're running out of time here. Now they're getting desperate.
Yeah.
Now they're getting desperate. They're no longer creating confusion amongst people anymore. There's just a door that's not built yet. And the enemy sees in your life, if you're facing things in your life, the enemy sees the door's about to get shut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's playing all his cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's playing every card he's got. And we need to, maybe this is not politically correct, but see the enemy doesn't want you to have border control.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to have any border control. The enemy wants everybody to be in your life. and God just wants the right people in your life.
Yeah.
We're not talking about loving people and serving people. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
And as long as that door's open, you don't have any control who comes in and out your life. How many distractions do you have because of negative people in your life? How many distractions have you got in your life because of negative invaders of your mind and negative people in your life and people who are in a completely different hymn sheet for you in your life that you then have this other life that's no your God-centered life?
Yeah.
And he's trying to take what's in your hands out of your hands.
Yeah.
And Nehemiah says, no. In fact, I love the name of the valley. It's called Oh No. Oh no. Now you need to start saying to the enemy when he can't start, oh no.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh no. Do you want to miss church? Do you want to miss church today and go for a romantic meal? Oh no. Do you want to miss this and go to, oh no. In fact, the name of Ono in Hebrew, when you translate it, means beauty's only skin deep. That's interesting. Beauty's only skin deep. Hebrew for, oh no, beauty's only skin deep. And Nehemiah's like, don't you think I see the ugliness behind the invitation?
Yeah.
Don't you think I see what you're trying to do?
Yeah.
What you're trying to stop me from doing? Don't you think you're trying to stop me finishing what God's put in my hand?
Yeah.
You're stopping me growing what God's gave me? And they say to Nehemiah, can you stop doing what you're doing and come for a chat? We need a chat. Months before they were trying to murder him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, that's how the enemy uses people. Because what I'll start with is, I hate you being anywhere near God.
then you just go anyway. Yeah. And as you get stronger, then they say, I know you go to church.
Yeah.
Fancy a night off? Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Let's go for a chat in the valley. Beauty's only skin deep, but... Can you put down what God gave you just for the now and pick up your fear again? Can you put down what God gave you and spend some time with me? Have some chit-chat. Have a get-together. Let's talk about anything other than Jesus. We want to be your friend now. You tried to kill me. Now you want to be my best pal because I'm growing. Yeah. And Nehemiah was like, oh, no. Oh, let's say that together. Oh, no. This is what you need to learn. This is the language. Oh, I see that coming. I spot that 50 yards in the dark. You're burning me up because I'm like corn in the cob and you're ready to take a bite. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm doing wonderful works here. We're doing amazing things. I'm changing lives in youth. We're building a kids' ministry. We're writing songs. We're preaching. We're communicating. We're building the kingdom. Oh, no, I've no time for you. And Nehemiah was no. The more low self-esteem you have, the more you are prone to flattery. And that's a door. That might be the only door that's left is that low self-esteem door that when people butter you up and tell you how you're amazing. You're amazing. It's the only thing that's missing in your life. So many people, they're so close. They're so close to shutting the door in their past. But she was so good looking. For heaven's sake. Oh, no. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Some of you are sitting there like, oh, no. Oh, no. Could you not preach that last month? For heaven's sake. You're a month late, Pastor. I've done it now. Don't be fooled with the people that hated you being in church, who knew kid on their endorsing you being in church, but don't want you come to church tonight. Creating social events, creating the social. Come with me. We're going to ice skating. Oh, that's better than church. Is it? Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Seriously? Have you seen my new gift? Have you seen my new gift? Why can't you stay in and play with the gift with me tonight? Oh, no. Oh, no. See, even if their motives have changed, they've not changed. Yeah. See, their tactics have changed. See, the enemy tactics have changed. But maybe they've not changed. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, they've no changed. They are desperate now.
Yeah.
It's getting desperate.
Yeah.
Because you're about to shut the door in your past. Yeah. You're about to shut the door. And guess what? They're not invited.
Yeah.
They're not invited. Already shut the door on you, and you're no invite. Let me in. I'm still for you. Let me in. Honestly, we're best pals. Let me in. Sorry. Oh, no. Preach it, sister. And when he say, oh, no, I'm doing a great thing. I'm doing such great things. I have no time to stop for your fun friends. I've no time to stop. Wait now, put down your mic. I'm singing worship. Put down your mic. Put down your mic and come and join me. No, 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 no. Oh, no. But they kept persisting. with the same weapons, the weapons of mass distraction. On the fifth occasion, here comes the new distraction. This is the big weapon as I bring this in. The dreaded letter. And what does it say? Well, we see, honestly, I'm telling you this for experience. This is the dreaded letter I get, right? Right, this is the dreaded letter for the enemy who's desperate for you to keep fighting them who are not for you. There's only so long you... See, there's two types of churches you can build. You can build a church that's fighting against some, and you can build a church that's fighting for some. Yeah. There'll be times in our church where we need to fight against things. People who are trying to bring a different culture, a different idea, and a different stuff. But you don't want to be doing that forever because we want to be fighting for what we're for. Yeah. Oh, well, we see... Oh, where'd you hear this one? You're in the front row. I've had this, right? Probably second, third... Oh, we see now what you're doing. See, this is the next tactic we sandball it in the enemy. Oh, we see you're building stuff for you. You want to be big cheese. You're building a cult church. And you're raising up your yes men. And you're raising up your yes men. Am I? Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. I see you coming, pal. We're not building up yes men. We're building up God men. Yeah. We're not building yes men, we're building God men, and you're not going to deceive me and tell me that that's what we're doing. Yes. Oh, we see you now, you're trying to take over the world. Nehemiah's like, no, I'm trying to get God back on his rightful place. Yes. At the centre of people's hearts and at the centre of people's life. Yes. You think you can see, because what we start doing is we start second guessing ourselves, because now we've got the letter. Yeah. Oh. We start opening up and we start thinking, God, is that about me? Oh, no, that's about me. And see, your past comes back out in this letter. See, we start looking at it going, dear Mark, it's all about you. You're a manipulator. You've only got yes men running about you. You're raising up people that agree with you and applaud you. And you're doing that because... you're trying to be your own king. God's not really the centre of your life anymore. It's all about you and building your own kingdom. And we go, oh, I better stop building. I better stop building. Is there an element of truth in that? Is that about me? And then you just go, oh, no. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Heard your game before. Oh, no, we're not trying to be God. We're raising up God. We're raising up men and women of God. We're taking the kingdom. We've heard your games and your manipulation. It's an enemy tactic. You're trying to make us question our motives and who we are. Yes, it is great. The enemy's so predictable. I've seen it. I'm not playing your game. Good. You're not invited. Oh, some of you are in church. You go, oh, no, you're in church now, Mrs. High and Mighty. Some of you are getting that now. Right now. Oh, no, you're in church. Oh, who do you think you are? You forgot your own back. You forgot your old backside. You know what I say? I know it was stinking. Yeah. I hated every bit of my old backside. I hated my whole life. There were no freedom in my life. I was contained. Yeah. We control freaks like you. Yeah. And I refuse to be intimidated by you anymore. Yeah. Oh, aye, there you are. Going to your church with your Bible, you and your Jesus. You're no man or woman of God. Wait, when did you become a man or woman of God? I know your past. I've got the letter that tells you who you are. Yeah. And they try and bring it back into your life. There, your letter. There, we've got history. We've got history. There, that's what it says about you. Culture course, by the way. That's what it says about you. I know. I was there. I was there when you had nothing. I was there when I picked you up when you had nobody. What about us now? Well, you can either surrender to Jesus, because if you don't, the door's getting shut. And Nehemiah's like, oh no, you're at it again. You're at it again with your lies. I know you're lying. I know your game. With your lies and your intimidation. And any person here who has been intimidated at any point in their life, and I'm telling you, seriously, get ready. Get ready, because God's just about to close the door on your past. Yeah. Once and for all, for good. And the enemy's trying to take out your hand. Have we got that cordless mic? Where's that cordless mic? Hogging it. Diva. It's my mic, I'm not sharing it. Better deal with that. No, we'll get it. And the enemy, and I say this to you, and I prophesy this into your life, the enemy's trying to take this out of your hand. And make you keep carrying that stuff. And you keep on putting it down. Yeah. You go, oh, am I not good enough? I keep on remembering, am I not good enough? And you need to fling that away. You need to say, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not letting this out of my hand.
Yeah.
And the enemy's trying to take out your hand, but God's put in your hand.
Yeah.
I promise you, even if it's that small, the enemy's desperate to take out your hand, what God has put in your hand. And God has put gifts and talents in your life. And he's put gifts and talents into your world. You better believe it. As small as they are, whether it's 5 talent, 2 talents, or 1 talent, God has put gifts and talents into your world. But the enemy wants you to bury it.
Yeah.
The enemy wants you to bury it, and he wants you to carry a letter, and he wants you to carry stuff that says you're no good enough, that says how dare you believe that you could be something great.
Yeah.
And we keep on carrying that disapproval.
Yeah.
So every time God says, you're approved, we go, oh, it says here I'm no.
Yeah.
And it's embedded in our heart that we're no good enough, and it's embedded in our mindsets and our belief system.
Yeah.
I know you've said that to me, God, but I've heard it so much that I'm no good enough.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, you need to stop reading the letter.
Yeah.
And he would love you to keep carrying that. A letter that says, you're not a woman of God. I know you're coming to church, but you're not a woman of God. That big dream that you've got, that thing that you've got in your heart, you're not destined for that. I know your life. I know your mistakes. I know your failures. I know your choices. I know what you've done. I know how you're living. I know your thoughts. I know that some thoughts you have are no godly thoughts. I know they're not. I'm human. And he wants to remove your gift so that you carry fear around with you. Because that's what that letter is. It's just a letter of fear and a letter of intimidation. We're going to tell the king what you're like. See, when I get saved, this is true. Man, do you want to come up? See, when I get saved, you know, I was only saved a very short space of time, and I'm like, right, I think my abilities, because of my personality, my capacity, that I always wanted to do something great. I think that was in me when I drank and when I took drugs and when I was into all that stuff, but it stifled there. But see, when the walls started to get built and there was only a door left, people were like, you can't go and start a church. You're not qualified enough. All good. I was trying to be qualified. I'm qualified. Oh, I'm not trying to be qualified. You're not good enough. You need to go and get a degree in theology. I'd die in these places. My working churned out like a sausage machine. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's wrong for everybody. Did you go to theology college, Mark? I never been to theology college in my flipping life. You can't be a preacher until you go to theology college. You're not ordained. Listen, Jesus tore down the veil.
Yeah.
I can walk to the throne room of grace with boldness, regardless of the qualification I've got. I need a qualification. My qualification is as I surrender my life to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's all the qualification you need.
Yeah.
You're not qualified enough.
Yeah.
What kind of qualification do you need to love people?
Yeah.
What kind of qualification do you need to love people? What kind of qualification do you need to talk about Jesus?
Yeah.
What kind of this is my qualification. It's called the Word of God. And it says...
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not listening to you. Trying to shut us down. We're going to build a church, yes, and it's going to get messy.
Yeah.
Yes, and we're going to make loads of mistakes. Yes, we are. But we're not going to pick up a letter. Shove your letter. It's all lies. It's manipulation. It's fear tactics. I refuse to carry your issues and your disapproval. I'm burying them. I'm shutting them out of my life. I'm exposing my talent. Yeah. It might not be much. I've always had a gob, by the way. All my life, I have had a gob. Right? Every second word that used to come out of my mouth was a swear word. Now it's only every fourth. It's a miracle. I'm joking. I'm joking at six. Hey! And some of us need to stop burying our talent and start burying our fear and start burying your intimidation and start burying your doubts and start burying with and start burying the negative people and start burying the things that's no good for your life and start picking up what God's gave you. Yeah. I'm exposing my talent. I'm taking what God has given me. This is what I've wrote here. I've wrote big clothes. We'll see. I'm taking what God's given me. I'm shutting the door on the lies. I'm shutting the door on your bullying. Yeah? Some of you are being bullied. I'm shutting the door on your bullying. I'm shutting the door on my disapproval. I'm finishing what God has entrusted to me. I'm no stopping. I'm no letting you distract me for another minute to help me fight your petty battles about religion and theology that Disney flipping matter. Yeah. And we all need to say this. Let's stand together. And this is what Nehemiah says. And you take that mic and you say to God, and you take whatever talent you've got, and you take whatever gift you've got, and you take whatever God's put in your heart to evangelize, and you say, God, strengthen my hand. Yeah. Strengthen my hand with that. I'm going to strengthen my grip. I'm going to strengthen my grip. God, strengthen my hand that I may not let go of the talents and gift you have given me.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Hope United. You can stay connected with us through our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages.